Song Travels explores the journey singers and songs take together. This project is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks. Additional support comes from NPR and NPR member stations.
Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is vocalist and songwriter Carcy Blanton. She taught herself to play guitar by listening to the music of Annie DeFranco and Billie Holiday as a teen. And her musical curiosity has continued all through her life. Her unconventional upbringing led to an equally unconventional approach to her career, as Carcy literally gives her music away online. Her crowdfunded album, Not Old, Not New, explores the lesser-known musical gems by artists like Duke Ellington and Cole Porter. And her unique approach has led to high praise from critics and colleagues alike. John Oates, with whom she's toured, called her, quote, a rare talent as a modern songwriter, unquote. Carcy Blanton, welcome to Song Travels.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Your music is really wonderful, and one of the things I appreciate about your songwriting is its craft. Mm-hmm. And in preparation for speaking to you, I have learned that you are very, very deep into studying the craft of all different kinds of songs. Where did that curiosity come from?
Good question. Well, so when I was a kid, my parents are sort of eccentric hippie types, who I love. They're wonderful people. And so there was always folk music playing in my house. So I grew up on like Leonard Cohen and John Prine, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, songwriters like that, who are excellent at their craft. And then when I was a teenager is when I first started listening to jazz. And that was because my grandpa sent me a Billie Holiday record. That was my first exposure to it. So I feel like there was a convergence when I was 13 or 14 of this folk world with really simple, you know, chord structures and melodic structures, but really lovely, beautifully put together poetic lyrics with, you know, the songs of the 1930s and 40s, which have much more complex chord structures and melodies, and also beautiful lyrics, but in a different way. So I feel like I got fascinated that there were so many different ways to write a great song. And since then, I've been studying it as much as I can.
When did you first become aware of the different styles to identify in your mind, to really start to quantify and separate and become aware of different genres?
It's hard to say. In some ways, I feel like I still haven't done that. I think that
which is a good thing, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it is one of my strengths as a songwriter is that I'm not particularly interested in writing a jazz song or a rock song or a folk song when I start out. What I'm interested in is expressing a feeling or an idea as well as I can. And so I think the music that supports that is different every time. And I feel the same way when I listen back to songs from different eras. A perfect song transcends the time period and the genre. You know, you can take a Dylan song and you can do it as a country song or a bluegrass song. You can take a Gershwin song and you can do it in kind of a new contemporary poppy way. And I think those songs work because they're just really well crafted. And so they're transcendent. So I would say that I have still not reached that point.
Have you listened to a song and thought, oh, this is from around this era and discovered that it's from another time?
Let's see. That's happened to me with most of my favorite songwriters have that effect where I'll hear it and think, oh, that must be a folk song or a, you know, or a jazz song from a long time ago. And then I realize it's a Tom Waits song, for example. Tom Waits has all these gems. Like, you think of him as a real weirdo, and he is a weirdo, but also he's written these perfect songs that could easily have been written by, you know, Cole Porter or you know, lots of other people, which I think of those songs as almost like there's this tree of songs somewhere, and there's some that are just like, they're just perfect fruit that you pick. And then, you know, if you're a songwriter and you get one of those in your lifetime, you feel really lucky.
I'd love to ask you to sing something live here in the studio. And there's a song by Hoagie Carmichael and Frank Lesser that you seem to have taken a cotton to.
Oh, it's one of my very favorite songs. I love the description. So the song's Two Sleepy People, I presume. I love in this song the description of being newlyweds.
Yes.
And you're sort of so comfy. You're sitting in your own living room just eating chicken out of the fridge and having a lovely time. You don't even have anything to talk about. There's very few songs that describe that stage of a relationship. I just find it adorable.
Well, I'd love for you to sing Two Sleepy People. And if I may, I'd like to accompany you.
I would love that.
Here we are in the cozy chair, picking on a wishbone from the Frigidaire. Two sleepy people with nothing to say, too much in love to fade away. Do you remember the nights we used to linger in the hall? Papa didn't like you at all. About the same foggy little fellow, drowsy little dame, two sleepy people with nothing to say, too much in love to fade away.
Carsey, you do that song so sweetly.
Thank you.
One of the things I was reading not too long ago was about the most used words in contemporary songs.
Oh, wow. I would love to know what they are.
Well, one thing that surprised me is that the word love is number 9 or 10 on the list.
Wow.
They analyzed the 100 most popular songs, and the word baby's number 1.
That makes sense.
The point they made was that love is not used very often in
love
songs.
Is on the decline.
Songs. Do you use the word love much in your songs?
Oh, all the time. I mean, I'm guilty of writing probably 95% of my songs are about love and relationships. And that's because that's what inspires me. And I think, you know, when I was younger, I was a little more proactive about trying to write about certain topics. Like I thought, oh, people have political songs. I should write a political song. And I just never got anywhere with it. And I think for me, that's because love is really what motivates me to be creative. So it's a topic that shows up quite a bit in my writing.
Of the 95% of your output being love songs, I want to ask you about one called Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Whose first kiss is it in that song?
Well, it is, in fact, my husband and I. That song was predictive of a long and happy relationship. I think I wrote that 2 days after I met my husband, about our first kiss. And so some part of me knew that it was going to last a while.
Oh, so you didn't have to write a breakup song.
Not so far, knock on wood.
How many songs have you written inspired by your beau?
Well, gosh, that's hard to say. Probably not that many, really. I feel like I've gotten probably 5 or 6 songs out of him, which is more than your average. Usually I only get 1 or 2. So he's got a pretty good batting average, I'd say.
Well, that's good to know.
But it's funny, you know, that's one thing I love about that song, Two Sleepy People, is that it's about a really nice, happy relationship rather than an epic, you know, breakup or falling in love for the first time and everything's new and sparkly. It is much harder to write about just being comfy with somebody you really like. Hmm. You know, there's not that much to say about it. Oh, I like you. Oh, I like you too.
Next. Would you sing Money in the Bank?
Yes, I'd love to.
Was a lousy deal on both our parts. You bet me a body and I raised you a heart, but you foiled my plan. When you called my bluff, I got a decent aim, but is it good enough to win? I had it figured out until you dealt me in. 'Cause I'd set my sights on a one-night stand, had an appetite for a handsome man, but you had all the clout of a seasoned flirt. I said, hey, cut it out before someone gets hurt. I knew a night is not enough to get enough for you. And oh, that first kiss, my gambling days are gonna end like this. Never want enough to fill my tank, but that first kiss was money in the bank. Yeah. Bank.
Money in the Bank, written and performed by our guest, Carcy Blanton. You wrote a song that I want to ask you about, Smoke Alarm. Where did that come from, the idea for it?
I have a good story about that, actually. So I used to live in Philadelphia. Now I live in New Orleans. And one of the reasons I moved to New Orleans is because I was going there to visit or to tour. And every time I would visit, I got real inspired and I'd write a song on my way home. And on one of those trips, the inspiration came in the form of a pickup line, a very creative pickup line.
Where in?
In a bar in New Orleans, where this guy was chatting me up and it wasn't really working. And so we got into a little conversation, and one of the things he said was, you know, you're going to die one day, and so you really should enjoy yourself while you have the chance. And I thought, first of all, that was just so innovative. I'd never been hit on that way before. And I also thought, you know, it's a great point, and it's something that's, it's sort of hard to remember that, yeah. You know. And I think when a lot of people have a lot of fear of death, and I have some of that too, of course. But for me, when I get reminded of my mortality, I mostly feel this urgent desire to go experience life and to be really engaged in it because it's so brief. And so that song to me is about that urge.
Would you sing it for us now?
Yeah, of course. I'd love to.
He said, baby, what's a big deal? Feel what you want to feel. Say what you want to say. You're gonna die one day. For example, I could kiss you just because I want to. What's the difference if you turn away? I'm gonna die one day. Why do you waste your time thinking about your reputation? Trying to meet an expectation, wondering what they're gonna say. Headed for a headstone. I don't want to give the end away, but we're gonna die one day.
I like that song a lot, Carcy. When everyone you've known is headed for a headstone.
Yeah, I like to, as much as possible, work humor into my songs. I think that if I can get people laughing and also crying a little bit, then that's my ultimate goal. So with that song, I feel like I'm talking about a very serious topic, the most serious, you might think, but there's also a few little jokes in there. I'm proud of those.
I think one of the hardest things is to write humor into a song.
Mm. Yeah, I think for me, I love jokes, I love humor, and I think that when I think of a joke, I usually try to turn it into a line in a song. So a lot of my songs started out with a little joke.
That's great. To wrap this up, I'd like to feature one more track from your Not Old, Not New CD. It's a song that became a virtual anthem of the Second World War.
Mm.
What does I'll Be Seeing You mean to you?
Well, I had a funny experience with the song where when I first heard it, I found it, I experienced it as very cheesy. I thought, oh, it's this cheesy love song. It's a torch song about, oh, I miss you because you're gone and I'll be seeing you in the moon and all that. And then at some point I had just a consciousness shift where I thought, maybe your lover is gone forever. Like maybe this is about a soldier who has passed away in war. And then I just really experienced it quite differently. And to me, it's about how even when someone is gone, you never lose their spirit. And so I think it's a really beautiful sentiment, and now I just find it to be a very sweet, beautiful song.
We're going to listen to it now. I'll Be Seeing You, performed by our guest, Carcy Blanton.
Mm-hmm.
gorgeous song, a beautiful performance by our guest Carcy Blanton from her CD Not Old, Not New. Carcy, thank you for sharing your wisdom about music and about life. It's really wonderful to speak to you, and I appreciate this time with you.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
To hear the full Song Travels broadcast, tune in to your NPR station. Visit npr.org to find a station in your area. Support for Song Travels comes from NPR and the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks. Song Travels is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. Learn more about the artists and music on the series by visiting our website, scetv.org/songtravels.